At New Pod City, we are your neighbors. You know us, and we know you. New Pod City is where you go for all things podcast related.
We're living in a golden age right now. I mean, anybody can just open up a laptop, jack in a mic, just start talking, and before they even realize what's happening, they have a worldwide listening audience.
We advise you on the type of equipment to use, offer training, distribution, monetization, and guidance to ensure you sound amazing.
Don't think you have to sound like anybody else. Don't let people try and shave off everything original about you. Hey, I talk fast, I have a New York accent, but you know what? That'll appeal to somebody.
With three levels to choose from, we got your budget covered. Mayor Frank Sasso and his team have award-winning podcast production skills, which make the New Pod City family a truly unique team, dedicated to art and craft of producing and distributing high-quality audio productions, voiceovers, celebrity impressions, and most of all, podcasts.
You no longer have to go searching for content to listen to. You can sit down and create your own content, your own show. You can create your own show. One of the things my team and I do is sit around and think about the kind of shows we would listen to, and then we just create them.
Visit us today at newpodcity.com or call 609-222-2691 for more information.
Now is the time to stake your claim with a podcast.
New Pod City, there's a new breed of podcaster.
Welcome to NMA, empowering God's beloveds with Lavinia Johnson. And sorry guys, no men allowed. Here's your host, Lavinia Johnson.
Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to NMA, empowering God's beloveds. My name is Lavinia, and as always, I am excited to be here with you guys to spend this Friday with you. Happy Friday, wishing you guys a whole wonderful weekend to come. If you are new to NMA, welcome. We welcome you. You can make your home here at NMA, Empowering God's Beloveds, where our desire is to inspire, our desire is to uplift, our desire is to encourage and empower each and every single one of you through the Word of God. But NMA is not alone. I am honored to be a part of an amazing podcast network through A History with God Ministries. You can go to www.ahistorywithgod.org. Scroll down, click on our podcast network, and you will find an amazing podcast network. First, we have the Who's Your Daddy Godcast featuring Frank and Christina Sasso, Becoming a Light podcast by Larry and Yavanna. They're great men and women of God. Logos, Heart of God and the Mind of Christ with Andy, Voice of One by Terrence, Secret Refuge podcast by Shane, and my podcast is on there too. Finally, you have Bella and Me, which is a fun kids show. So this podcast network has something to offer for every single person. So if you're looking for an encouragement, you're looking to hear the word, you're looking to hear the history, it's all there for each and every single one of you. How can you get in touch with us here at NMA? You can visit us online at www.laviniajohnson.com. We are on Facebook and on Twitter at No Man Allowed, on Instagram at Empowering God's Beloved. And we're going to go ahead and jump right into today's topic. So I hope you enjoy. Today, I'm so excited to welcome my pastor, my mentor, Lillian Okore. Hi, Lillian.
Hey, Lavinia. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. I'm so excited to have you here with us.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm excited to be here as well.
Yeah. Everybody has been asking for us to bring in somebody else to kind of interview and talk about. So finally, here it is. Everybody who's asked, are we going to have somebody come in and also share like their views on the Lord? So finally, we're here. So I'm grateful for that. And I have a few questions for you. Are you excited?
Yes, I am. Very excited.
I hope you know I'm here to just, you know, pick everything. Because we want to offer everybody the beef. You know, this is going to be a beefy conversation.
Okay.
All right. So, Lillian, can you tell me a little bit about yourself? I mean, I know you, but tell everybody about yourself.
Hi, I'm Lillian Okore. I'm married. I've been married for 12 years now. My husband and I, we pastor a church in Huntington Valley, Living Streams Fellowship. We have two children. Nick Jr. is 10, and Gloria just turned 6, actually.
Yay.
Yay. Yep. So we do a lot of things. I have a regular job. I work for a medical company. Of course, I'm involved in the ministry, praise and worship leader there. And anything else that arises in the ministry, I'm always there to help and to chip in whichever way that I can. And that is my life.
That is it.
That's it.
It's more exciting than that, but, you know, it's humility. The questions that I have for you are kind of geared towards, you know, like you as a wife, as a mother. as a minister. Like, these are all part of your titles. You have many titles behind your name, which is a great thing. So, like, with that, name a person who has tremendously impacted your life, and what values did you learn from them?
I have different people. I wouldn't really say that there's one person, only because I've been through different stages in life and different ages as well. So the people that impacted me the most when I was growing up as a child are not the same people today. But I would say growing up, my childhood, definitely my parents, mostly my mom. She raised me up in a Christian home. She taught me the values that I'm building on today. Those have been the building blocks for me as a woman, as a mother, as a minister. I came from my mom, and for that, I'm forever grateful. Right. She led me to the Lord at the age of 4.
Oh, wow.
I didn't understand much, but she's like, when we go to church, just do what I'm doing. If I'm singing, sing. If I raise my hands, right. Do exactly that. And that has been super helpful. Those have been the principles that have helped me to come where I am today. Yeah. So as far as growing up and childhood is concerned, I would say that was my mom and, of course, my dad, but mostly mommy. And in college, I met some enriching relationships. I had one of my good friends, she was a designer, and one of my roommates actually was one of the organizers for the Miss Uganda pageant, and apparently she had more faith in me than I did. She was like, Lillian, you should go for it. I'm like, I will never do that. I will die of fear. I cannot face a lot of people. But we all need those people that can see the best in us and push and encourage us to go the next step. And she did. And she put the forms on my bed. I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I can't. She's like, just try. You know, if you change your mind, that's fine as well. And I did it and I won.
Oh, yay.
So then, you know, after college, of course, I went on to do my master's in Europe and I made new friends there. So it's really been different people, I would say. When I moved over to the U.S., I met my husband. At the time we were dating, he had a great impact in my spiritual life. I was raised in the church. I knew the Lord. I knew the Bible. But I would say it was more like logos. Like, I didn't have an experience with him. It wasn't like the rhema. Like, I knew the word, but I wasn't applying it to my life. It was just like dead material in my life.
Right.
And he taught me how to dig in deeper in the Word of God, prayer, intercession, and more, you know, overnight, and just going deeper in the things of God.
Right.
And from there, we worked with different pastors in the U.S., in New Jersey, and finally the Lord led us to plant a church in Pennsylvania, in Horsham, PA.
Right.
And we met you there, your family, you are the first members there
of the church. I remember.
I remember you growing up, and now you're all married, and you have two kids. Wow, God is amazing.
He is. And only He's able to do that. And yeah, I know you, obviously, but it's good to know you through the years. What I can say is, like, you know, you can say, like, you've watched me grow, but I've also watched you grow, like, into, like, this flower. And it's like you blossom, and it's like a plant where they grow more on the inside, like where people can't see. And the end result we see is a flower. So I've seen you grow into, like, a beautiful flower. And thank you for being a mentor to me.
Of course, you're welcome. It's a privilege and honor to do what we need to do for the body of Christ.
Right.
And then coming to the church after my husband, it's been like pastor friends and ministers of the gospel, like Joyce Meyer, John Maxwell. I'm a reader. I like to read. I like to listen to different kinds of teachings, T.D. Jakes, Benny Hinn Ministries. It really depends on what I'm going through in my life at that particular moment. But I would say that the Bible has been my soul source of wisdom at this point in my life. Jesus is my anchor and He is my everything, I would say. I listen to all these kind of people, but I would actually say Jesus, Holy Spirit, is my mentor, my counselor.
Wow, that's amazing. And I also do have another question. What is the most important decision that you made and why?
The most important decision I ever made in my entire black life is to serve the Lord Jesus. Because without Him, I would be nothing. I'll be dying in hell. I'll be dying in sin. I wouldn't be where I am today. We all confront different things in life, and who knows what could have happened to me without Jesus. So that is the best decision I ever made.
Wow. I remember you were talking the other day, and you're saying as you look back over your life, you just see how God's hand was over you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes even before we make the decision to choose Christ or to want to be a part of like his calling or his purpose, like you look back and you're like, wow, like even before, like before I even knew God, like he still protected me, he still loved me, he still saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. So I love that so much. And also, like, you were talking about different stages of life, and I want to ask you, like, what advice or what words of wisdom can you give somebody who's maybe a single, or they're married, they're a parent, you know, they're in your position, or they're in your shoes? What words can you give at different stages of your life?
What I would say is inner strength. Learn how to build yourself on the inside. And that strength only comes from the Lord. Because there are moments where you feel alone. In leadership, there are times you feel alone. It doesn't matter if you're married, you have kids, or all these people around you. There are times where, as a leader, you feel that you're alone. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage people to build inner strength. Because when those moments come, you got to draw from the inside. You got to be filled up. And that only comes from the Lord. You have to be filled with the Word of God. There are times when you're so weak to read the Word of God. However, if you build yourself up on a daily basis through prayer, through praise and worship, through reading the Word of God, when you're going through moments of weakness, you're able to draw out of the wells that are already inside. You draw from what's within. Right. And that's what I would say, build yourself inside. Learn how to be yourself without other people. Because other people can surround you. They build you up at particular moments. Right. But we all know we're individuals. So that moment when you're on your own, that moment when you're driving in your car by yourself or in your bed thinking about different things, you know, how would you handle that? It all comes from the strength within.
And as when you were single, if you can think back, I know you've been married for a while, but different like marriages is more blended family than there was before. And how do you encourage like single women? When you were single, what was one thing that maybe you knew that you can help somebody with, or that you found out later on that you can still encourage somebody with?
Well, being single, oh my goodness, what can I tell the single people? Well, when you say single, do you mean like single, they've never dated before, or you've dated before and you're in a broken relationship, or are you single and you are in a relationship and you are? Because the different levels
of being single. Yeah. But maybe let's just say like single as in you're not married yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that's technically single, right?
Yeah, that's technically single. Well, for the single people, I mean, to me, have fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you're single. Enjoy life. Yeah. Enjoy life. Don't worry about, oh, when am I going to get married? When am I going to get kids? Because what happens, reality is you're eating away from your enjoyment now. Because worrying about stuff that you don't have right now doesn't help, and it doesn't bring it just because you're worrying about it or thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So I just tell them, enjoy your singlehood. Have fun. Go out with your friends. Hang out. Always, you know, make sure it's a good company. Because bad company corrupts good morals. So good company, just enjoy yourself. And when the time comes to get married and you're anchored in Christ, I bet you the right person will always, always come.
Right. Yeah. What about like keeping purity, like when you're single? Because a lot of people have a hard time like dealing with that. Like, how am I a Christian, but I'm having maybe these feelings that are not right? How do you encourage them in that way?
It's hard. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's really hard to be single and to burn with passion. That's why the Bible says if you're burning with passion, marry. But in the process, if you don't have anybody in your life, I'll just be like Joseph. Just flee. Just run. You see yourself falling into temptation, run. Because the reality is before you fall into temptation, it comes as a thought in your mind.
Yeah.
And then as a result of that, you meditate on it. And then consequently, you act on it. Mm-hmm. So once that thought pops up in your mind, you're like, hey, this is not good for me, you just go away, because the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee and from you. So all you have to do is to resist. It's hard, but you gotta, you know, beat up your flesh and just take yourself away from the situation.
What about marriage? What can you say about marriage? I know you're married and you have two beautiful kids. What's like the best things about marriage? Like, what's the joy of marriage and having children?
Oh my goodness, there's so much to marriage. You have to be friends, because before you got married, you are friends, you know. So keep the friendship going, keep the love going, keep the humor going. Mm-hmm. The things that brought you together, strengthen those, you know, don't stop doing them. Mm-hmm. And I read a great book by Gary Chapman. I'm sure you've heard about it. The five love languages, mm-hmm. you know, you learn your spouse's language and just keep on doing that. You know, words of affirmation, or if it's gifts, or if it's quality time, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that. And just keep doing that.
Right.
And in marriage, there has to be a lot of forgiveness. Oh, my goodness, a lot. You have to forgive, guys, okay? You have mm-hmm. to forgive. You will be upset. You will be offended. But to make it, you definitely have to forgive. It has to be on the top radar.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for those advice for everybody who's married or you're single and you're thinking about marriage, like, you know, take on this good words. I always seek words of wisdom, especially of people who've gone ahead of me, because the only way that I can get there is through leadership and guidance. So I'm a student first before I'm a leader. So I like to learn and build up my head or my heart with, like, good, positive things. And I kind of want the same for, like, everybody in the podcast listening. So just build yourself up with those good things. That way, like you said, when you're alone and when nobody's around you, you can draw from that. Okay. So, and the next question is, what is your mission in life? What do you think God has put you, or what do you know that God has put you in this world for? What do you have to offer to this generation?
Well, I would summarize it this way, mm-hmm. to know Christ and to make him known. Mm. Ultimately, that's our mission, all of us. He says, go preach the gospel to the uttermost ends of the earth. And that's a great commission for all of us. So that if I were to summarize what it is, that's what it is, to know Christ and to make him known. Now, how do you do that? Mm. There's different venues, different avenues to do that. It could be like in a church like we do, you know, a regular Sunday service. It could be midweek service. But there are other ways of evangelizing. And to me, it's been like, I like one-on-one. I like knowing people. I like going deep in there and talking about things that people don't like to talk about, mm-hmm. and with humor as well. God has given me the grace and the wisdom and the discernment to be able to dig out some things in people that they haven't shared with me or let me know.
Right.
And I think I was sharing with you on Sunday how the leaders at work, they're just coming to me and I'm just having, like, you know, words of knowledge for them, and prophetic words are coming for them. So I like doing one-on-ones. That's a great way. And also, I've been doing fundraising charity fashion shows. Mm-hmm. I get to meet so many people, the models, photographers, and the vendors, and all the people that participate in the show. That's also another way of evangelism. It's another tool that I use to reach out to the community.
Right. Yeah. So you have a fashion show, LL Core Fashion Show, mm-hmm. which is going on 4 years now. Mm-hmm. How has it been to come up with a fashion show? And I love your motto, I guess I could say, you know, fashion for Christ. Because mm-hmm. you to kind of rebuild what's broken, you have to kind of start from the bottom up, mm-hmm. you know, to help kind of build what's broken. So for us, at least, like when we're younger and we were taught to dress a certain way where it doesn't necessarily like bring honor to God. Mm-hmm. But I like that you're touching on something that actually is still existent. And especially now where women and men are so pressured to just want to take everything off. Like, to now that's fashion nowadays. Like, people don't even wear clothes and that's fashion. Mm-hmm. And I like how you're taking something that's so broken in this generation and bringing light to it. And also, like, telling people, like, you can still be amazing. You can still be beautiful, but to honor God, mm-hmm. you know. So can you tell us about LL Core Fashion Show?
Well, LL Core Fashion Show was born out of my passion for fashion and modeling and what I've done in my past life. Actually, it was something I thought I would never do again. Mm-hmm. I told the Lord I love fashion, I love modeling, I love stuff like that. And I was like, Lord, if you think I shouldn't do that, if you think it's going to distract me from my calling, Lord, I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. But it was a desire. And the Lord just released me to start doing fundraising fashion shows 4 years mm-hmm. ago. I met Myra from Christian Fashion Week. And we've been working amazing together. And what I would say about that is our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And if your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and the Lord dwells within us, he lives within us, you want your temple to be nice and clean. You don't want to defile your temple. Mm-hmm. And all that goes, you know, whatever is inside comes out on the outside. So the way we dress, the way we present ourselves, you know, beautiful, naked doesn't mean beautiful. Right. I mean, that is, you know, for people who are married, there's a place for that. There's a place for everything. So LL Core Fashion fashion is here to let people know you can be beautiful without being naked. Mm-hmm. You can glorify Christ in beautiful clothes that don't have to expose who you are. What you dress up does not validate who you are. Christ validates who you are. Yeah. So you don't have to expose yourself to be loved and accepted. He already loves us. He died for us. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to work any harder to be accepted. We just have to be us and just look beautiful.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know definitely there's some young girls who listen to the show. Mm-hmm. And how can you encourage them? Because I know growing up in this country, it was tough. Mm-hmm. You know, I got bullied. I got made fun of for the way I dressed or the way I wore my hair. You know, it was really hard growing up just being a girl. Right. And so much so that I was pressured to dress a certain way. Well, maybe if I show more off, maybe guys will like me more. Maybe girls will like me more. I believe, like, that's a part where, like, it's really damaged. I feel like the enemy knows, like, if I can pick on this area, like, I can mess her up for such a long time. Like, it's hard to recover from being bullied. It's hard to recover from people making fun of you because that's all you've known. Right. I've just known my hair to be like this. I've known my skin to be like this. Mm. But how do you encourage young girls like that?
It's all about identity, knowing who you are. When you know who you are, it doesn't matter what people say about you. It doesn't matter what they think about you because you know who you are. Mm-hmm. And we get our identity from Christ. You know, the Bible says we are beautifully and wonderfully made. You got to believe that in your heart, in your spirit, it has to sink in. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so when you know that you're already beautiful in Jesus' eyes, he created us, you know. The people that are making comments about who you are already broken themselves. Mm. So you shouldn't even take that as the gospel truth. The only true word is the word of God. So you always go back to the word. What does the word of God say about me? It says I'm beautiful. It says I'm blessed. It says I'm wonderful. It says I'm, you know, you claim what the scripture says and you believe it in your heart. Because we are in a broken world trying to be validated by broken people. Right. You know, it's like an empty vessel trying to fill an empty vessel. You can. Right. Yeah. Christ is the only one who fills us up. So I would encourage you to know who you are in Christ Jesus. And whatever people say, you say, no, I pull down that imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and I render my thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, what does Christ think about me? You know, what does his word say about me? Your dad, your mom, your sister, your brothers, your friends in school will love them, but they do not describe who you are. Mm-hmm. And we are all in the process of being made from glory to glory. So just be confident in who you are in Christ Jesus. Right. All of us have faced times where we've had low self-esteem issues, where you face rejection, everybody's first rejection in one way or another. Mm-hmm. We have moments where we've had self-pity, you know, moments where we've doubted our self-worth. Mm-hmm. You know, moments where we feel like, oh, you know, maybe I'm not good enough. Moments where you feel like I'm not the best there is out there. It would never happen for me. Mm-hmm. But all that is a lie from the enemy to damage your spirit, man, to damage your emotions, to damage your heart. Right. Especially women, we are emotional people. Yeah. So to get to us, you'll get to your emotions. So the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart. Because out of your heart, these spring issues of life.
Right.
So you guard your heart and just know what is in there is precious jewels, and don't throw them out to the pigs, as the Bible says. So you guard your heart, and you're the only one who has the gate to your heart.
Yeah.
Whoever you let in comes in, and whoever you let out will not, you know, not get to you. So you open the door and you close the door. You have the power.
Yeah.
You do.
Wow, that's amazing. I've never quite heard it like that. So that is spot on. As a leader, name one important attribute that you think a leader should have and why.
Patience. I would say at this point in my life, I would say patience. As a leader, you meet different people coming from different walks of life, different experiences, different things that they're going through, different levels of spiritual growth and maturity. So we need to be patient with them. I've learned to be patient myself because to me it's like, oh, you don't get it. You better get it by now.
I know.
You know, but that's something that the Lord has showed me. People, we go through a lot in this life. There's so much that goes on. So I'm learning how to be more patient with people. That comes with giving people chances. You know, give them a first chance, give them a second. They don't get it. You try again. Keep trying because they're in the process. And they do get it, actually. They do. they finally do get it, it's such a joy to see people that I've seen struggle through stuff and see them make it on the other side. I'm like, yay, Jesus, they got it! You know, it's exciting and it comes back to you as a gift because there are times when you're low, they come back and they encourage you, you know. So don't give up on people. Be patient, guys. Patience. Jesus, patience. That's what I've learned the most.
Yeah.
There's a lot more, but that one is
the top line one.
Yes.
What do you think leaders in the church are facing today? And what word of encouragement can you give them?
Leaders in churches, I would say, face different things because the different congregations and people are confronted with different challenges depending on the people you're ministering to. So everywhere is different. I mean, for me, where I'm in my church right now, I would say learning how to work with people, different age groups, I guess. I'm in a church where we have different age groups. I mean, some people are like, I don't know, 20, 30 years older than I am, and I have to learn how to work with them, to minister to them and with them, and it's not always easy. And I guess it comes back to patience again and learning how to have teamwork even if there's such a generational gap.
I've been getting a few questions about hearing the voice of God, right? So what is your experience with hearing the voice of God?
What I would say about hearing the voice of God is actually very easy to hear from the Father. Just think about your dad or your mom in the physical. How do you know your mom's voice? How do you know your dad's voice? How do you know your sister, your brothers, your friend? How do you know that? I'm a mom. My kid could cry in the park.
I'm miles away
and I'm like, that's my son or that's my daughter. How do I know that? It's about spending time. You hear the word of God, but spending time with Him. The more you spend time with Him, the more you hear His voice. And how do you spend time with the Father? In prayer. How do you spend time with the Father? The word of God. How do you spend time with the Father? Praise and worship. You know, I mean, it's the same things that we do, but you have to be more diligent in them. And then you have to put in time. Building relationships takes time in the physical realm. How much more with the Father, who is a spirit being, we have to tune ourselves into Him, and it's His word. And sometimes He will speak to me. He speaks to me in different ways. Sometimes I'll hear His voice, like I'm hearing your voice right now, but that's rare, by the way. Very, very rare, at least for me. The biggest way that the Father speaks to me is through His word. When you know the word of God, sometimes I would ask, oh, Lord, you know, what should I do about this thing? I'm just so frustrated right now. And a scripture will pop up, you know, things, give thanks. And I just know that's the Father speaking. Or sometimes when I'm like in doubt or anxious about something, and then Philippians 4 pops up, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer. Supplication. So it is the word of God. God will never ever, and I always tell people, speak outside of His word. There's no way around hearing the Father's voice. There's no way around it. You gotta know the word. You gotta put the time in. You gotta you have to do it. So the word of God, prayer, praise and worship, and if you want to go deeper, do some prayer and do some fasting, because fasting quietens our flesh and it brings us in a moment where we can actually meditate and listen to what He has to say.
Wow, that was amazing. So it's really awesome, and I know, like, I'm gonna get probably a lot of emails and a lot of questions for you, and I look forward to having you again sometime. Did you have fun?
I did. Thank you so much, Lavinia, for inviting me. I've seen you grow spiritually, and seeing you do this podcast is such a joy to me. It's an encouragement to see how you've grown both physically and spiritually. It's such a blessing, and I wish you nothing but the best and the blessings of God, and go for it. Don't doubt yourself. Don't care about the haters. They're always there to push us forward, you know? So,
Yeah, thank you so much. Wow, that was great, and I hope it answered somebody's question that's been asking about, you know, like hearing from God, hearing the voice of God. Thank you so much for coming. I look forward to talking to you again. If I get questions for you, I will bring her back, guys, I promise. So, thank you so much, and have a good day, guys. Bye.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Anime Podcast. Visit us online today for more podcast information, social media directories, and more valuable resources at LavinyaJohnson.com.